as we go in the scripture, we're going to look at Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And I'll ask you to stand with me one more time, then you can be seated for a bit. I know, we're up and down all the time, so. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We'll read our first scripture, then we pray, and then you can be seated after that. Luke's Gospel chapter 10, verse 38. And this is a story about Jesus as he was visiting with some friends. And it has some great lessons for us. So verse 38, and we'll read together as well. So if you have your Bible, you can read from that. If you don't, you can read from the screen. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So I want to speak to you just for a few minutes tonight on the danger of distractions. The danger of distractions. And we're going to pray, and then after that, you may be seated. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us to gain something from your word tonight. I pray that it'll speak to us. Lord, whether here for the first time or many times, I pray, Lord, that you will, through your voice, the voice of your spirit in our conscience, that you will, Lord, just direct us and guide us and help us. And I pray that you'll help me, Lord, just to speak from this passage tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, and you may be seated. We live in a time and an age of distractions. You know, there's some things that are distracting when you come to church. For all of us, it's different things. One thing that I've always found distracting, especially when it's a quiet moment, and nobody's doing this right now, so I'll say this, is when somebody hauls out a pair of fingernail clippers. Did you ever notice that? And it's like, click, click. And the sound, that sound just kind of carries. You know, it's distracting. You know, we have sometimes tambourines, and they're great and all of that. But, you know, sometimes a tambourine, even when it's not hit very hard, if it's not on the beat, it's just really, 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 really distracting. Then there, you know, those things are just minor annoyances. They don't really do much other than maybe irritate you a little bit. But recently we've been hearing a lot about driving while distracted. I'm not going to take a show of hands to find out how many of you have texted this week with a cell phone in your hand while you're driving. I'm not going to do that because, well, we don't want to bust anybody tonight. But it's a real issue. It's a real problem. You hear a lot about it, the dangers of texting and driving, and I will admit that in the past that I've been guilty of it. In the distant past, far beyond the statute of limitations, it's all gone. We were driving on the auto route this week, coming home from New Brunswick, and was following this van. I was getting ready to go by him, but he was weaving like this, and it was the middle of the day, so I thought, well, surely he's not drunk. But he was having his problems staying in his lane. And I don't know about you, but when I'm coming up on a car like that and they're having a problem to stay in their lane, I'm kind of a little nervous because I don't know how far over he's going to come the next time. And so finally he kind of straightened it up, and I pulled out and went by him, and sure enough, he wasn't drunk. He just had a cell phone in his hand, paying attention to it more than he was paying attention to the road. It's a real problem because it takes your attention off the road. Now, my message tonight really is not about texting and driving. Okay, there's bigger things than that. But the problem is that it takes your attention off the road just long enough for someone to step off a curb, for a car to pull out, for you to miss something. It's a problem. Thankfully, I have a new feature on my phone that came on one of the last updates. And so when I get in my car, it senses that I'm connected to my car. And really, it's Apple saying, we're smarter than you are. And I don't know, I guess Android probably has the same thing, but it's Apple really saying, we're smarter than you are because, you know, when you get in your car, we're going to make it so you won't get any notifications, so you won't look at your phone at all. And it's great, because we all get distracted. We all have those moments when we're just not paying attention. And through the ages, distraction has been a problem. You know, even while I'm talking tonight, you might be looking at somebody around you and getting distracted. It's easy. It happens. Hopefully I didn't trigger it. But we live in an age of unprecedented distraction. And we talk about the negative effects. We have so many things going on. You know, you sit down to work, and you just get into work. And you're at your computer if you work with a computer, and you're just getting started, and you're making good progress. And then, why is it you feel that urge? I need to check Facebook. I need to see, did somebody post? Did they like my post? Or you got to take a little look at Twitter. We get distracted easily. And distractions usually aren't a huge problem until they are. The distraction that I want to talk about tonight isn't about in your car or at work. Distractions come when we shift our attention from things that are important to things that are really of lesser importance or not of much value. It can happen when you set a goal for your life or when you have a vision for where you want to be in 10 years in your life. And then you get distracted. You may say, I want to be at this point in my life when I hit 30 or 40. And then something comes along that takes your attention from your plan, from your goals, and you find yourself going in another direction. And the problem with distractions is sometimes we don't even realize what's happening until it's gone on for a while. We get distracted. The greatest incident of this that I can really give you is being distracted about presence of God within your life. The Bible teaches us that the God of all creation, the God who created everything, wants to be a part of our lives. That God is not, you know, as the song goes, that God's not just up in heaven, but that God is here. God's not just here in the church. He doesn't just meet us when we walk in and say, hello, how are you? But God is among us wherever we go. The Bible teaches us that all of creation declares the handiwork of God. That when you look at the intricacies of nature, and when you look at even your own body and how intricate it is, how complex it is, how one little thing not working properly can send everything else spiraling. It's complex. And Scripture says that all of nature declares, first of all, that there is a God, and it declares the glory of God. You know, you see him in the wonder of birth when a new child is born, when a baby is born, and if you've gone through that, you've experienced it, and you hold that child in your hand, there's that wonder of birth. First of all, you know, everybody else is wondering how such a beautiful child you could have. Like, how is that possible? But you're looking at that child and you're thinking, wow, you know, this is incredible. It's part of God's revelation of himself. We see him in the majesty of nature. The Old Testament writer Solomon, he was a king. The Bible talks about him as a very extremely wise man. Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. He said, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. And then notice this next part. He has planted eternity in the heart, in the human heart. But even so, people can't see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. He said God put a little bit of eternity within the human heart. That's why wherever you go, whichever civilization you explore, there will always be a reaching out of human beings to something that is bigger, something that is greater, something that is larger than what they are. Sometimes we redefine, or we define in different ways, and we talk about spiritual quests, and we talk about spiritual journeys. But really, the Bible says that God has put within every one of us a little part of us, a little something that is there that reminds us that there is eternity, that eternity is life forever beyond this life. That God has planted within every one of us that part of us that wants to connect with a God who is eternal. And God speaks to us in all kinds of different ways. He reminds us through the things that we go through, through the people that come along our way. God speaks to us. God doesn't always speak to us through the voice of a preacher standing behind a pulpit or through the pages of his word. Sometimes God brings a person into your life to speak into your life. Sometimes God will bring a situation along that will speak into your life. But God has a way of speaking into our hearts and speaking into our lives. Sometimes, you know, I follow some Apple blogs. You can tell I'm an Apple guy. I like Apple. And so if you're part of the cult of Apple, welcome. No, it's not really that bad, but I follow some stuff. And so when Apple is coming out with a new update, now I can't imagine doing this because to me it just seems really tedious and long. But these guys, they will go through the code. And what they're looking for is any mention of something that's not already a product that's in service. So they'll go through all the lines of code, and to me, you know, that's not my thing. And it would drive me crazy. But they do this. They'll go through it, and they'll look for any mention of what might be a new product or a new feature that's coming. And then they'll write about it as if it were already happening. Because they found a clue. Often God speaks to us within our lives. He leaves clues in our lives about his existence and about his work within our hearts. It may be in that sensitivity that we wonder, why do I feel like there's got to be something more to life? Could that be a clue that God is just saying, here I am over here. I've got something I want to say. I've got something I want to speak into your life. He leaves clues along the way in each one of us because he's planted within us a little bit of himself that longs to connect with the eternal. You know, in our culture, there are a lot of ways that we try to still our conscience and we try to quiet the voice of God within our lives. We get immersed in things and careers, and it may be alcohol or drugs or relationships. We try to find a sense of meaning and a sense of belonging and a sense of this is what life is all about. And Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, went on to say that I tried all of these things and everything was vanity and vexation of spirit. He said everything was frustration. He said I built big buildings, but it was frustration. He said I thought when I started that it would be the answer to my problem, but at the end of it I discovered that I was at the same place I was before, just with a big building. He said I tried education and I tried all kinds of other things. And he said when it came down to it and I thought that if I can have this, that I will have arrived and I will have meaning and purpose within my life. And then he got there. You know, he had more money than most of us, or probably all of us, will ever dream of having. He had more recognition. He had more talent. He had more of everything than what we could possibly imagine. And then at the end of it all, he says, but it's all frustration. It's just empty because I can't find that sense of meaning, that sense of purpose. And finally, at the end of his journey, he said, the only thing that I can understand is that God is in heaven. And that my heart turns towards God. But sometimes we still the voice of God within our lives. As we turn our attention from what is most important to things that are of very little value. Because many of the things that we spend our life worrying about, stressing about, wondering about, are things that in 10 years or 20 years won't really matter at all. In Matthew chapter 14, and I'm not going to put the scripture up on the screen, the disciples of Jesus were in a boat. Now, they were fishermen. They were used to being in boats. They were in a boat. Jesus had told them, you go across the other side of the lake, and I will get there, and I'll meet you there. So they get out in the middle of the lake, and the winds are blowing, and the waves are high, and they're afraid. And being professional fishermen, it took a lot to make them afraid, but they were afraid. And as they were out there in the dark, the Bible says that they looked and they saw someone walking on the water towards them. Now, their first reaction was, it's a ghost. Well, let's be honest. If you're out in the middle of a lake, in the middle of the night, and you see something coming walking on the water towards you, your first reaction, and it's not winter, by the way, your first reaction is not going to be, it's my friend. You know, bring in the Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's not your first reaction. That's not it. First of all, if you got paddles, if you don't have a motor, and you got paddles, you're going to be paddling in the opposite direction for all your worth, because this doesn't happen. You got a little closer, and they realized that it was Jesus. Now, none of us can walk on water like that, but he was God, so he can do what he wants. He got a little closer, and Peter looked out over the side of the boat and said, hey, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come and walk towards you on the water. Now, that takes faith. And so Jesus said, come. You know, anytime that you call on Jesus, or you say, Lord, I want to get closer to you, you know what he'll say? He'll always say, come. He doesn't turn you away. He doesn't say, not too busy today. Don't have time for you today. He always says, come. And so he told him to come. So Peter climbs over the side of the boat and starts to walk on the water. Now imagine what that must have been like. In the middle of the storm, walking on water towards Jesus. And he's actually, the Bible tells us, he's walking on water. You say, well, that's really hard to believe. That's what a miracle is. A miracle is something that goes beyond what natural law is. And so he's walking on the water. And then something happened. The Bible says he was looking at Jesus, walking towards him. And then Peter was like us. Because the Bible says that Peter looked at the wind, and he looked at the waves, and he took stock of everything that was going on around him. And then Peter said, I can't do this. Now, never mind that he had already been walking on the water. Peter got distracted by the wind and the waves around him. He began to try to figure it all out himself. And you know what? When you try to figure out God, you're going to give yourself a headache. Like you're never going to get there totally. That's what, he's God. I mean, by definition, you can't figure out God. And so Peter begins to sink. Because he got distracted from what Jesus was doing in his life by the things that were around him. And sometimes we get distracted by the things that are in our lives, the things that are around us, the noise of life. And sometimes we have to just stop and let ourselves hear what God wants to speak within our lives. Now, I've never heard God speak in, you know, that big bass voice that you always hear in the movies. I've never heard that. Sometimes God speaks into your conscience. Sometimes it's like a little, small, little voice that's just kind of directing you in the right way. Sometimes it's through people. Sometimes it's through things. Sometimes it's bringing you to a stage in your life where, well, can I say it like Travis? I don't want to, you know, I know a lot of you are here because he's getting baptized, but something began to happen in Travis's life. And, you know, that can be the voice of God that speaks to remind us that we're made for more than just making a living. Amen. We're made for more than just getting an education. We're made for more. You know, none of those things are wrong. Please understand me, none of those things are wrong. But we're made for more than that. And you can get all of those things. But if you don't get a connection with God, you've missed the main point of life. Let me get back to my text. I'm going to close with this. Come back to the music so I will quit. Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house. And, you know, I love family dinners. And so Mary and Martha were sisters. Jesus comes. Now, they don't have microwaves and all the rest of it. They have to cook over open fires, and it's a job. So Martha goes into the kitchen, and she's cooking. Now, her sister, Mary, decides that she's going to stay in the living room, and she's going to talk to Jesus. So as time goes on, you know, the pans and pots and whatever she was using in the kitchen area, I think they started rattling a little harder. Do you ever have that experience when you're cooking? Maybe some of you don't cook, but when you're cooking and you know somebody's out there and they should be in the kitchen helping you, but they're not helping you because they're slacking and they're leaving you to do it all. Yeah. Maybe it's when they're doing the dishes. I don't know. Maybe it's then. And they're slacking and you're in there and you're just cooking away and you didn't want to because you got a special guest in there and you'd like to be out there too, but they're just talking away and they're ignoring you and you're in there and you're putting it all together and you're working hard and they're just out there just taking it easy, not even thinking about it. Well, the Bible tells us that's what happened with Mary and Martha. And Martha starts to get angry. You know, and I can imagine that she's in there and she's muttering under her breath, maybe not under her breath, but she's muttering away and she's saying, this is not really fair. I'm in here cooking. She's out there sitting down. It's not right. It's not fair. How can she do that to me? I'm in here and nobody's in here telling me what a good job I'm doing. They're just, nobody appreciates what I'm done. You know, you work your fingers to the bone and what do you get but bony fingers, and here I am. And what's going on? What's going on? And so finally she came out. And she came to, and she said to Jesus, she said, Jesus, look, like, I'm in there working my fingers to the bone. I'm pulling things together, and she's sitting out here. Why don't you tell her to come and help me? Like, you know, surely Jesus will be on my side here. This is a righteous cause. And Jesus looked at her and said, you know, Martha, you're really busy doing all these things. But Mary's chosen something better because Mary's realized, I'm not going to be here all the time. And you're distracted by everything you're doing that you lost sight of the most important thing, that Jesus is in the house. As we stand together tonight, and in just a couple of moments, we'll be going into the water baptism. But we're going to pray, and sometimes it's easy. Maybe you're here tonight and you've had a connection with God in your past, but somewhere along the way, something happened. Maybe it was a decision, a choice. Maybe it was something somebody said that you just couldn't get over. Maybe it was something somebody did that you just really struggled with. But tonight, here, whether you're here for the first time or you've been here a long time, maybe what God's trying to do is just kind of trying to break through to say, hey, I'm still here. And if you'll just pay attention. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves and culture paints a picture of God as some kind of angry old man that just waits to destroy. That's not the picture the Bible paints. The picture the Bible paints is of a God who is always willing to listen and is always willing to reach out because he loves you. We're going to pray, and I'm just going to invite the Lord to speak into our lives. And you may not be accustomed to praying. That's okay. I want to invite you in your own words. As I pray, in your own words, just tell God what you need from him tonight. You know, there's no special language you need to use. There's no, you know, big words you have to throw in there. Prayer is just talking to God like you would talk to your friend. And so I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads with me as we pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're here tonight because you said in your word that you would be when we gather together. And Lord, you know each one of us better than we know ourselves. You look deep within our hearts. And Father, tonight, I pray that, Lord, in the middle of everything that goes on in our lives, Lord, with all the noise and all the distractions, Lord, that you would somehow break through. Lord, that your presence would become very real within our hearts and lives. Lord, that you would speak tonight. Lord, it may be to renew a connection. I pray that you will speak tonight. Lord, it may be that tonight is to begin a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak tonight.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I pray that you will challenge our assumptions. Challenge, Lord, the way that we are. To let us see the way that we can be. Lord, I pray that you will speak into each one of our lives tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing, and as we do, it's our custom as we sing at the end of a message or a sermon that we sing, and we have a prayer time. And we're going to get ready for the water baptism. But I'd like to invite you, it's our custom, just to kind of join here around the front and we'll pray. Now, if you want to stay in your seat, if you're not accustomed to that, you're welcome. But I want us just to, as we sing, to make it our prayer. Lord, let me be sensitive to what you want to speak in my life, to what you want to say. And you know what? It might just surprise you what God might say in your life. You might say, well, I'm not really interested in religion. I'm not really interested in all that. Forget religion. It's about God. It's not about religion. And I want to challenge you to simply make that a prayer. God, what do you want to say in my life? And in the next few moments,